get through. Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, great to see you guys. Hopefully we get some other brothers hopping on in a couple minutes here. But I am excited. I'm always excited when we get to be together, just us men, and dive into the Word of God together. And tonight's going to be a shorter lesson on my end. We want to have some time to discuss and have some interactive discussion tonight, and try to utilize that time as best as we can. And you know, as Caleb said when he welcomed everyone, totally want to acknowledge and realize that you know, it is coming to the end of the semester. So you guys are cranking on these final assignments, and I'm definitely we'll continue to be praying for you guys as you aim to finish strong and head into the summer. It's crazy. We're almost there. The school year is almost over. But as we think about finishing out the school year, you know, I really do want to encourage us with this lesson tonight and encourage us to finish strong. And I thought this was kind of timely, this topic that I'll introduce more in a second. I thought it was timely, you know, when you kind of go through these transitional times where you're finishing the semester, heading into the summer, it's kind of a natural time to think about, okay, let me look back on my school year. How was it with me and God? How was it spiritually? What are things that went great? And then what are things that you feel like, you know what, going into the summer, here's some things that I want to grow in, right? And so the title of my lesson tonight is Owning Your Spiritual Growth. Owning Your Spiritual Growth. And so you guys can turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. That'll be our main chapter for tonight. And you know, I just feel like God put this topic on my heart, you know, partly through some good conversations I've had, even with some of you guys about this topic. And but also just for me too, you know, we moved recently, we're settling into a new place, life is busy, life is happening, and I've had mornings where I'm getting time with God and I'm like, you know, man, I need to get recentered on my plan for my quiet time. You know, I need to get recentered on what am I here to do right now, and trying my best to not just go through the motions. And so every once in a while, as disciples of Jesus, we need a reminder about what discipleship is all about, what the goal of Christianity actually is. We can so easily just start each week, each day, go through the motions of life, going to work, going to school, coming home, kind of vegging out, chilling, social life, going through the motions of just meetings of the body, Wednesday midweek, Friday event, church Sunday. But then even as we're going through these things, we kind of take a look at ourselves spiritually, and we're really not all that different than we were a couple months before. And that should bug us. That should definitely bother us. And Satan and the things of this world do a really good job at distracting us from what is most important, and that is our commitment to Christ. As you guys know, our commitment to become like Christ. That is the most important thing, and we've all decided that that's the most important thing. But sometimes it falls through the cracks, and we don't own the most important thing in our life, which is our spiritual growth and really just our discipleship to Jesus. And so we'll talk more about that tonight. But again, when we think about just, you know, this idea of a disciple, that word disciple means a student, a follower, an apprentice. You know, I kind of tend to really like that word apprentice, because it carries more weight that you're made to become like your teacher or your master. I like that about apprentice. And if we're apprenticing under Christ, we don't want a year to go by and we're really not any more like Christ. We don't want even a month to go by, right? If you're a really good apprentice, for whatever that craft is, your goal is each week, each month, I want to become more like the person who's teaching me. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is our master. He is our rabbi. He's our Lord. And so the goal of discipleship And we talked about this when we did that series about a year ago called Practicing the Way of Jesus. But the goal of discipleship is you can really break it down into three parts. First one, be with Jesus, right? Doing life with Jesus, spending time with him. Second one, becoming like Jesus. We should want that. That is a major goal of discipleship. Obviously, we're not perfect, but that's our aim in life, is we want to become like him. And then the third thing is we want to do what Jesus did. We want to love our neighbor. We want to help people know the good news of the kingdom of God. We want to serve the needy. We want to join Jesus in the work that he's doing and that he has left for us to do. That is what discipleship is all about. Being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. That is a calling. That is a radical life. And so with such a goal like that, it would make sense that we have to really own our spiritual growth to do those things, right? You're not, you know, these things, becoming like Jesus, doing the work that Jesus did, they're not just going to fall on our lap. It's something that we have to be really intentional about. How am I doing with really being with Jesus, becoming like him, and doing what he did? And for every Christian, for everyone who made Jesus the Lord of their life, that's what we signed up for. That's what you signed up for. You didn't just sign up to be a part of a church or come somewhere every Sunday morning, but you signed up to spend the rest of your life to know Christ and to make him known. And for really to let Christ and the scriptures mold you year by year, to not just become a good disciple, but a great disciple, a healthy disciple. And so a question that I want to ask tonight and help answer for us through the Word of God is, what does a healthy disciple look like? What does a healthy disciple look like? And that might sound like an elementary question. And you know what? It really is. It's not a mind-boggling question. But I think sometimes we can grow comfortable. And when someone comes up to you or someone's talking about you and they're like, oh yeah, Buka, that's a good brother. That's a good brother right there. You know, we kind of almost feel like, yeah, you know what? That's all I need to hear. But we can't settle for just being called, that's a good brother. You know, he's there on Sundays. You know, he helps put away the sound equipment. And I believe Buka is more than a good brother. I think he's a great brother. I think he sets an example for all of us. But that's a terminology we hear a lot, is, oh, what a good brother. But in any other thing in life, you don't just want to be good. You know, if you're trying to be an incredible musician, and you're trying to make music and tour and make albums, and some producer comes to you, listens to your album, and they're like, hey, you're good. You're good. You'd be offended. You'd be like, just good. I was hoping for more. Or if you're trying to play in the NBA and trying to be a great NBA basketball player, and LeBron's watching you at a workout, and he's like, yeah, he's good. He's good. No, you want LeBron to say, no, that dude is a weapon. That dude is a great player. That dude, I would want that guy on my team, right? This is what we want God to say about us as followers of Jesus. Not just, hey, that's a good brother. But no, man, that is a healthy, thriving disciple of Jesus that is ushering in God's kingdom to where he is. That's our standard, guys. And if anything, tonight, I just want to bring us back to that standard. We're not here just to be good brothers and a good campus ministry and be good guys. You can be a good guy and not be a follower of Jesus. We're trying to be like Christ. That is where we've set our sights, is to be like him. And I know that that is why you're here. I know that that's why you decided to get baptized. But just because it might have been why you decided initially, it doesn't always mean that that's what we're proactively doing week by week. this intentional focus of, man, how can I let Christ mold me this week? How can I prioritize my discipleship to Christ? And again, how can I own my growth spiritually? And so Ephesians 4, as we dig into this here, I just finished going through the book of Ephesians in my quiet times. It was really helpful, really convicting. I needed it, and it helped me kind of get back on track with some things. And so we're going to start in verse 11, all right, of Ephesians 4. And we're going to read from 11 to 16, and then in a little bit, we'll read another part as well. And I love this passage because it talks about, we see the word grow in this passage. We see the word mature in this passage. So pay attention to how Paul talks about disciples within the body of Christ. All right. So Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming." Verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Amen. Awesome passage. Easier said than done. Very clear model, very clear picture Paul lays out. But to really live it out in community, it takes effort. And I feel like overall as a brotherhood in campus, I really do feel like we, over the past couple of years, have grown in knowing each other better, grown in our relationships, grown just individually, spiritually. And we have made strides. You know, each of you have made strides in your walk with God. I've seen it. Some of you, I've, you know, been more integrally a part of it than others. But I've seen it even from afar for some of you. But I want you to pay attention to what Paul says here. In verse 15, and even before that, in verse 13, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith, right? And this is coming from this idea of being equipped. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That should be our goal, is to mature in our faith, to mature as Christians, not just to get by, not just to feel good about ourselves compared to another brother, but what does it mean for you to mature? Maybe it's maturing in your self-control, maturing in your compassion towards others, maturing in your ability to be vulnerable, right? It could be anything, but that is the goal. And verse 13 is saying, here's the goal, here's the vision. And verse 14 is saying, once that happens, we won't be infants anymore. And we're not going to be tossed back and forth by the waves of every teaching and the craftiness, deceitful scheming of the world. We don't want to be infants, right? That is not the goal. You know, you think about this illustration, you might have heard this illustration before. But, you know, to keep it personal, you know, Hannah and I are having our baby boy in July. Super excited to be parents. I'm super excited to be a dad. But if we have our boy in July and come August and then, you know, into the fall, September, October, if he has not grown, I'm going to be alarmed. Even just after a month goes by, and if our baby boy has not noticeably grown, I am going to be concerned. and we're calling the doctor, we're bringing them to the hospital, we're going to look into that because infants should grow. Infants should not stay infants. I mean, that's a very simple point. But even though that seems very well understood, because it's visually there, right? You know, if a baby is born, you know, okay, they will not remain there. But spiritually, Satan can make us settle to stay infants in the faith. Satan is so good. I mean, I'll be honest, guys, my first 3 to 4 years of discipleship in high school, I was an infant. I shouldn't have been an infant at year four, but because I wasn't owning my spiritual growth and I wasn't going after help, I was still an infant. And it wasn't until senior year going into college where I was like, I really need to focus more on my discipleship to Christ. I want to be a blessing to God's church. I want to help people know God. I want to make disciples. But God doesn't want you to remain an infant in your faith. He wants you to grow. He wants you to thrive in your walk with God. And so in the same way, when you feel like you're not seeing the changes in your life and your walk with God, just like I would be alarmed if our baby boy wasn't growing, you should be alarmed if you keep falling into that same sin, if you keep falling into that same temptation, or you keep forgetting to come prepared to your discipling times and your discipling relationship. You know, those are signs that that owning your spiritual growth might be falling through the cracks. And we're all prone to it. We're all sinners. We all get distracted. God knows that. Satan does not want you to grow. And again, some of what I'm saying tonight, you've heard before. A lot of this is just things that you know, but may need to be reminded of, including myself. So Satan doesn't want you to grow. And he's going to do everything he can to halt your growth. But God wants you to thrive. God wants you to become like Christ. And so that's what we get to in that verse where it says in verse 15, instead of being infants, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. That's what Paul's saying to this church. And become in every respect, right? All aspects of our walk with God, a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So that is God's prayer for us, that we will grow. The question becomes, how? How do we grow to become more like Jesus? How can we own our spiritual walk with God? And so for the next couple of minutes, before we have our time of discussion, that's what I want to talk about, is the how. We know that Satan doesn't want us to grow. We know that Satan wants us to remain infants. We know that God has a plan for us to mature. We know that being a disciple of Jesus means that we want to become like him, but how can we actively do this and not stay stuck where we are? One of the things that we see is right here in this passage. When we're thinking about the how, if you look in verse 16 is talking about relationships. Let's read it again. Ephesians 4:16, from him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every supporting ligament. I know Nick's liking that PT. We are those supporting ligaments. We are the brothers that are going to support one another and help each other grow. And we can't do it without you, and you can't do it without us. We need each other if we're going to grow together. But notice that imagery there. It says we're joined and held together. And so as we're all connected to Christ, we keep each other connected to Christ. You know, if you picture kind of like, you know, the imagery of a tree, right? There's obviously a clear root system, and hopefully we're all rooted to Jesus, but then we all help each other stay attached as we branch out, as other people come into the kingdom. We hold on, we're attached to something very solid, that trunk of the tree and those roots. But we have to be connected. And so, in short, how do we become more like Jesus? How can we grow to really own our walks with God? Through discipling relationships. Having people that know you, that know what's going on in your life, and that know how to help you. And also having people that you feel like you're able to help and you're able to give to in a spiritual way. So, who are you supporting? That's a good thing to think about. Who are you supporting spiritually? What's a brother or two or three that you feel like you're in there with each week that you're helping support spiritually, pointing them back to Christ, asking them how that area of their character is going, how that area of their relationships in the body are going? So, who are you supporting and who are you supported by? Who really knows you and how you're doing right now? Who's helping you in the things that you really want help with? You might know on paper who that should be, but are you letting them in? Do they really know what's happening, or do they have to really go after you to find out what is happening in your life? Do they have to chase you down? And so, when we think about this how can we really own our walks with God? I just think we got to start here, guys. We got to start with our relationships with one another. This is how Jesus did ministry. If there's anyone who could have done it by himself and owned his relationship with God on his own, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus did, even Jesus didn't do it alone. He had men in his corner. He had brothers and sisters in his life. And so, if the Son of God needed community, Lord knows I need it. Lord knows we need it. But sometimes, even without knowing and realizing, we can start to try to grow on our own. We might even realize something that we need to grow in, but we try to just, go after it on our own. And that's great. It does need to start with you. It does need to start with you deciding, okay, here's what I need to say out for my quiet times if I want to grow in this area of my life, if I want to grow in my purity or my self-discipline or being an encouraging brother. That's fine. Start with you. Have that time of prayer. Decide on what you want to study out in the word, but don't let it end with you. Tell someone about what you want to grow in. Ask them, hey, I really want to grow in this area of my life. What would you recommend I study out in the Bible? Hey, bro, hey, Manny, is there a spiritual book that's helped you with this? I'd love to know. Bro, could we pray together once a week? Because I really need help to stay focused on this, right? Bring other brothers into it. And here's my real challenge to you. Ask them to hold you accountable. This is something I need to do more with the guys in my life, but that is a real sign of humility. If you can go to a brother and say, listen, I know this is going to be hard for me to grow in. So, Brian, I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to ask me every week, how's this going in this part of your walk with God? And give people the permission to do that. Not to be monitored or policed. But no, to have accountability in your life, because we're sinners. And if we don't have brothers helping us see our blind spots, we won't stay focused on the things we want to focus on, right? We need accountability. We need brothers that are in there. And as we keep talking about the how, I want to skip down to verse 22 in chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 22. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the old self, before we decided to make Jesus Lord, the old self died in the waters of baptism, right? As Romans 6 talks about. That's where we died and we crucified the flesh. But then there's a part two. And just as intentional we had to be about dying to our sin, we have to be just as intentional about putting on the new self, putting on this new way of life, which is no joke. You're not just being a Christian isn't just I'm stopping my sinning. Being a Christian is, yes, I'm stopping my sinning so that I can actively follow Jesus and start a new lifestyle. And so that's what verse 22 and 23 are getting at here, is we got to put on the new self. And for all of us, we have to own that. Like every day, every week, deciding, I got to put on the full armor of God. I got to put on the new self. I got to run away from the things I did before I was a Christian. I need to run from sin and put on the new self. Verse 24 says why you should do that. Because you weren't created just to be good. You weren't created just to be a churchgoer or practice churchianity. Verse 24 says you were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You were created to bear the image of God. That is why we need to own our spiritual walk. Because unlike your classmates, your goal in life isn't just to be a good person that gets a degree and makes a lot of money and has a family and grows old and retires. That's not your goal in life. Your goal in life is to fulfill God's purpose for you, which is to bear his image and to become like Jesus. And as you do that, sure, get the job, have a great career, have an awesome family. Those things are great, but they're not the thing. And so, if that is our purpose to be created to be like God, then it would make sense that that is what we prioritize each year, each month. Luke 2:52, you can just write it down. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew. Jesus had to grow. Jesus was a sinner just like you. And the Bible says he was tempted in every way. So Jesus was probably tempted in more ways than you are. But he had to decide to grow and prioritize God. I think sometimes we forget that about Jesus. It wasn't a cakewalk. He had to fight to be someone who never sinned. But he grew. And if Jesus grew in his wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and Jesus is the one we're apprenticing under, then that should also be our goal, that we grow in our wisdom and our stature and our favor with God and with man. Not because your discipler told you to, but because Jesus, your master, that's what he grew in. And because if he grew in that, then we should too. Here's some signs of a healthy growing disciple. And these are my practicals I'll leave you with, and then we got some time for discussion here. But to me, as I took time to think about the scriptures and how they speak about someone who's a healthy Christian and just convictions, and specifically tried to apply this to what I see as the needs of the brothers in our ministry. Here's to me, what are the signs of a healthy, growing disciple who's really owning their walk with God? First one, consistent daily times with God. You own it. You make it happen. Even when you're tired, even when it's a rough day, the word of God is your refuge. And you don't need anyone to remind you to have your quiet time. That's a healthy Christian because you love God. You see your need for God. A healthy disciple knows what book of the Bible they're reading, why they're studying it out, And you're able, if someone comes up to you on a Sunday and says, "Hey, what are you learning from your quiet times?" A healthy disciple should be able to share, "Here's what I'm learning from God's word and from others. Here's what I'm working on." But an unhealthy disciple is asked that question and draws a blank. That's not owning your walk with God. Number two, a healthy disciple is initiating spiritual help. You're going after help spiritually. I need to do this. We all need to do this. We're all sinners. And the term we use for that is discipling. Jesus discipled his disciples, and they discipled each other. They mentored each other. If that's a word that you like better, helps you, right? Mentor. Jesus is our mentor, and we mentor each other to be like him. So if you're initiating spiritual help, you're the one setting up discipling relationship times. You're the one reaching out to whoever's in your life, and you're saying, "When can we get time?" Or, "Hey, I have a question. Could we talk over phone today?" Right? Specifically, those who are training you and in your life, you want to come ready to those, quality times with them, with questions, with things you're really wanting to talk about. Some of you guys are great at this. Some of you guys set an amazing example in this. Some of you guys, if someone doesn't reach out to you to get time, you don't have discipling in your life. If someone doesn't reach out to you and ask you, "What do you want to grow in?" you aren't going to be able to tell someone what you want to grow in. How are you going to grow to be more like Jesus if you can't even remember to get help spiritually? We're not. And again, this is where I was when I was a young Christian. I would not reach out to Ross. I would not reach out to Damon. It was years of them reaching out to me before I realized, you know what? This is my walk with God. And I need to reach out to Damon. Damon's got enough going on. Let me take something off his plate. And so that's number two, initiating spiritual help, getting the help you need because you know you need it and you see yourself clearly. Number three, a healthy disciple is someone who is actively encouraging other brothers and sisters. You're looking for ways to encourage. You own that about your walk with God. You own that. You're like, "I want to be like Jesus. I want people to feel loved by me. I want people to feel encouraged by me because of my devotion to Christ." So you're finding ways to encourage others, whether that's helping plan a really fun and encouraging group date that brings joy to everyone, that builds relationships. And you think about what that sister needs to be encouraged. Being encouraging might just mean you deny yourself by going after meeting, new disciples or disciples you don't know as well in the fellowship. And you're saying, I want to encourage this younger brother today, or I want to encourage this new person at church today, by what I see in them. And you go after that. Encouragement is something we all need. The Bible says, "Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that you won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So we need encouragement. Number four, devotion to the meetings of the body. Because you're a supporting ligament, right? Just verses before, it was talking about we build each other up in love. And so a healthy disciple sees themselves as a supporting ligament. So a healthy disciple realizes, if I'm not there on Sunday or on Friday or on time, then I can't do the supporting God has called me to do. And I also can't be supported in the way that I know I need to be supported. But a healthy disciple who owns their walk with God, not only do they come consistently to meetings of the body, but they come to give. They come early. They come and bring people. And it's not because anyone's reminding them. And hey, every once in a while, we need a reminder. That's all good. I need those sometimes. I got too many reminders on my phone from Google because I need it. But when it comes to the family of Christ, we got to own this, guys. Maturing in Christ means no one needs to remind you about a meeting of the body. We're family. And honestly, it's a character thing. You know, for you, if you feel like you notice in yourself, you notice you keep either coming late to church Sunday or meals of the body and you're inconsistent, before you try to give reasons why, just take a step back and try to look at how your character might have something to do with that. You know, is it really because life is that hard, or is it just because you didn't wake up on time and you didn't leave enough time to be on time? You know, we have to ask ourselves those hard questions. Why? Because we're apprenticing under Jesus, and Jesus was all about his body, the body of Christ. And the last thing I'll say, kind of a two-part thing here, is a healthy disciple, a healthy brother is a humble brother. You strive to be humble. You don't strive to be necessarily always humble, because we're sinners. We're gonna fall short, but you seek after humility. You're trying to make that your standard. A humble disciple asks questions to others. They know they're not perfect. They know they have pride, so they try to get help from other brothers so they can see their pride. A humble brother is willing to be ugly in front of other brothers, to confess, and to care more about being righteous than being right. To care more about being righteous and holy than just feeling right about something. You care more about being godly and being seen than you just care about looking good to others, right? And if you're humble, you will get the help you need to go and help other people know Jesus, right? A healthy disciple's on the mission, helping other people know God. That's really where things get awesome, is when, because you're taking care of yourself spiritually, you can help someone else do well spiritually. That's what we have to thrive for. But that's what you have to own. And so I want to leave you guys with those just signs of a healthy disciple, because all of those things are signs that you're owning your spiritual growth. No one can follow Jesus for you. No one can make a plan of spiritual growth for you. That's something you have to own. And your motivation to do that is Jesus's vision for you, that you would be with him, that as his student, as his disciple, you would become like him, and that you would do what he did. Because just like this said earlier in Ephesians 4, verse 24, we were called to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we're going to transition here into a time of discussion. And I want to give these questions, and Caleb will facilitate our discussion. And, you know, I'm totally here to answer any questions and hear you guys. And, you know, I realize there's a lot of different examples I gave, but these questions hopefully will help you as we just take this time to reflect and discuss together. The first one is, what is one way you can grow in owning your spiritual growth? You know, I gave a lot of examples, but what's one way, one thing you can do to go after owning your spiritual growth? And then number two, what is one way you can help other brothers own their spiritual growth? What's one way you can help other brothers own their spiritual growth? Okay. So if someone wants to put those in the chat, feel free. But those are our two questions. Again, I just feel like God put this lesson on my heart. I feel like we needed it. Again, you guys have grown so much. You are growing, but this is a lesson that we need. And I feel like not just campus brothers, but just as men of God, we have to own our walks with God. We got to make this about our devotion to Christ. Amen. And so thanks, you guys, for hearing me out. I'll stop the recording here and pass it over to Caleb.